Cliff. Get those headphones on.
Okay.
Another fine show in the palatial Bassmaster Studios. Appropriately perched on top of our quadruple Bassmaster Towers overlooking beautiful downtown Birmingham. Again, I say the same lie every time, and it's up to you to decide what part of that is actually true. Joining me today, as usual, is the man who digs into all the numbers and does the research and also has a great face for radio, just like me, my boss, Mr. Jim Sexton. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
And we've got a pair of special guests in here this morning, Cliff and Kelly Prince.
Morning, y'all.
Thank you for being here. We're excited about this. Jim is going to kind of start things off by talking a little bit of a tournament history with you. And when he gets through with that exciting information, we'll dig into your past as an angler. Okay. And maybe we'll just talk deer hunting when we get done with
that. Hey, that's fine.
That's what we were doing before we went on the air, everybody. Well, it's exciting to have you guys in here. I got to know Cliff a little bit last year at the first tournament of the year, following him with Steve Bowman on Lake Martin.
That's right.
After
that's
he had an amazing first day. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But I believe you led that tournament on day one.
I did, and so then it steadily went downhill.
Yeah, it was a very special day.
It was. Hey, if you're going to lead a Bassmaster Elite tournament, do it on the first day.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way to do it. You had a couple of big fish that day.
Yeah,
one or two.
It was two. Yeah.
Yeah. How big were they?
I think they were both in the 6 pound range. And one was bumping close to 7, if I remember correctly, and. I mean, I caught both of them back-to-back casts.
Right.
I think the cast after that, I didn't even get nowhere near the dock that I was fishing.
Yeah. Well, I feel kind of a little bit of at fault, because as soon as Bowman and I got on you on day two, things went downhill. So apparently we had some bad luck for you.
No. It was just a magic dock there that there was a couple of big ones just staging up, So it's just part of it.
Timing.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into your numbers just a little bit. One number to start with is your age. Cliff, you're 48?
Yes.
48 years old. Live in Palatka, Florida.
Yep.
And I believe you grew up there, too.
I did. I was born and raised right there in Palatka.
Yep. Kelly, are you from that area as well?
I am. Born and raised Palatka as well.
Okay. All right. Palatka people. It's a great area. Boy, what a great area.
Yeah, there are some good restaurants down there. I'm looking. There's a pizza place we went to last time.
Nico's.
Yes. Oh, it was great.
I remember a really good seafood place where you could sit out on the water.
Yep.
Gator Lake.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Is there a live gator out front, or
they got a statue of one out there?
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Y'all have two kids. You've got your oldest is Gracie at 17 years old.
Yep.
And your son Siler is 13.
Yep.
And I believe y'all are a serious outdoors family. I read in your profile where you said. Y'all do something outdoors every weekend, fishing, hunting, something like that. A true outdoors
good
family.
Way to live.
Yep. And boy, what a great area for that. You got it all there.
Yeah. We've got salt water on both sides of us and fresh water in the middle. And pretty decent deer hunting right there. So it's all good.
That's great. I know there's some turkeys there too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
you've been with the Bassmaster Elite Series 7 years.
Yep.
I show you as being a professional angler for 11 years.
Yep.
So 4 years of opens before that. And you qualified via the Southern Opens.
That's correct.
Okay. Yep. So it's 93 Bassmaster tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You've made two classics in that time. It was 2013 Grand Lake and 2015 at Lake Hartwell.
The two coldest classics on record.
I will say. And that's my kind of luck there, Cliff.
Yeah, that 2015 classic was that was the one where boats were freezing to the trailer.
That's correct.
Was Grand colder or warmer?
I think Grand was colder for me.
I think it was, too. It didn't quite have the moisture in the air, but both those were cold.
Did you have a buddy heater going on your boat?
I did have one. I never did fire it up, but I did have one just in case.
That's hilarious.
I put me a wood platform on it so it wouldn't fall over.
Yeah. So for a guy who's lived his life mostly in the warm weather of Florida, how does that kind of cold affect you fishing?
Well, I deer hunt a lot, and I'm used to being out in the elements, so the cold weather really didn't bother me as much as I thought. I dressed a little bit. I overdressed for both of them. But mentally, when you literally watch water splash up on a rock and freeze before it goes back into the water,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty, that wears on you pretty good, you know?
Yeah. But we saw a lot of guys so bundled up in those tournaments that you felt like they could barely fish.
I
think mentally it does affect some guys who don't like that weather.
I never did let it bother me. I mean, when you're out there and you're fishing, it's almost like working out. So, you can overdress for that, and it's more harmful than it is.
Right. That makes sense. Let's see. Out of those 93 tournaments, you've had 39 in the money.
Mm-hmm.
Made a check in 39 out of those tournaments. That's a 41% in the money ratio. That's solid.
Consistent.
Yeah, and that adds up in your Bassmaster history to $336,000.
Right.
So that's a nice check if I just handed it to you.
Probably
Thomas.
Doesn't exactly work out that way, I suppose.
No, it does.
It sounds like a good number. It really does.
First, there's taxes.
Right, exactly.
And then all the expenses that come with fishing professionally. Yeah. So.
But anytime you want to hand me a check about that size, I will take
I'll keep that in mind.
And I'll run.
Case one turns up. You've got one second place finish in there. That was a 2009 Santee Cooper tournament, Southern Open.
Mm-hmm.
Got two third place, 2017 at Okeechobee.
Yep.
Solid tournament there. And then a very early tournament, which is actually the first Bassmaster tournament that shows up in our records. It was a weekend series tournament on St. John's River.
Yep. I fished a lot of those, you know, before I started fishing the Opens, and had some success in that. And,
yeah.
I had several seconds in those weekend series down there in Central Florida and all that. So,
okay, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Two third place finishes, and those are pretty notable. 2016 St. John's River.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me. Hold on. I'm going down one line. 11 top 10 finishes,
uh-huh.
And that's a 2016 St. John's River. That was the one Rick Klun won.
Right.
Yep. You got a 2014 Table Rock where you placed ninth.
Mm-hmm.
Got a 2013 Bull Shoals tournament where you were fourth.
Mm-hmm.
2013 at Falcon,
mm-hmm.
fifth place down in Texas. 2012 at La Crosse. So we go way up north, and he has some success up there, which is impressive to me when guys can do well in very different fisheries.
Right. Well, La Crosse, I would imagine, fish is pretty similar to what you're
it
used
does.
To fishing.
It does. It's shallow water, grass. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right up, you know,
right.
Florida Fisherman's Alley. I'm not, you know, notably a grass fisherman, but there it was, you know, right up my alley, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And then a 2012 at Toledo Bend, a fifth place there.
Yeah.
So some really good highlights in his career. You have 19 top 20s and 24 top 30s.
Okay.
So there you go. That's a look back.
And I have stories for every one of those, I could tell you.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to rehash old wounds, but the story of Palatka the last time we went is – it's a bit of an unfortunate story, but it seems like, you know, we had Drew Benton in here not too long ago, and he talked about that tournament, about how he was really close to making the right call to win, right? It was just one thing away from it happening.
Exactly.
And, you know, nobody'd take away from Rick Klun. Like, that's awesome. But talk about what happened there.
Well, you know, the first day, I caught a limit really quick. And when I went back, I normally put my fish on the driver's side of the boat. And I turned both the live wells on just to fill them up, because I figured if I needed a coal, I needed water in both tanks. So once they filled up, I went back there and switched the one that I normally leave fish in on auto. And in my mind, I was hearing the live wells kick on and off, so I thought everything was kosher. Well, 2 hours later, after I had my limit, I rolled across the 4-pounder, and I had just marked a 7, a 9, and a 6 on a bed.
Wow.
And I was going to turn around, and I seen a 4-pounder, so I said, well, I'll go ahead and catch her, and then I'll go back and let those settle down. Anyway, like the second pitch, I catch a 4-pounder, grab her, and I go back there to the live well, open up the live well, and all of them are bellied up dead. And I looked at my marshal, and he's like, what? And I'm like, they're all dead. He goes, you got to be kidding me. So he looks down in there, and I mean, all of them are bellied up, and I'm like, you know, I got to call Tripp. So I called Tripp, and I'm like, man, I can't coil. He goes, what's wrong? I said, all five of my fish are dead. He goes, and I said, is it okay for me to stay out here and practice? He said, yeah, you just can't, you know, if you catch one, you can't So anyway, that was
what day of the tournament was that?
That was the very first day.
Very first day, gosh.
At 10 o'clock.
So you start
This is, you know, it was a sight fishing tournament. So right. The later in the day, obviously it was going to get better. And I had marked several fish that was 8 to 10 pounds that I haven't even been to yet. So that being said, about the time all this happens, Terry Scroggins rolls up, and because he knew those fish were there too.
Right.
And I said, I'm trolling out as I see him running in, and he shuts down. And he goes, "Everything all right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Man, there's a 6, a 7, and a 9 back there on the bed." I said, "I left the stakes on them."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, what do you have?" Because he thought I had a giant bag, yeah. You know. And I was like, "Man," I said, "I killed all my fish. I can't catch them." I said, "You might as well catch them," because Edwin Evers was about 200 yards down the bank. So I think he wound up catching one of those fish the first day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. And what, so you had a – you finished sixth place basically fishing 3 days.
He bounced back big, which is
opposed to the guy that won it who fished 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I had I think 24-something the second day, which was one of the biggest bags of
right.
the tournament. And there's no doubt in my mind that first day I'd have had well over 20 pounds.
Right.
You know, it is what it is, and I just got to take that on the chin and go to the next one, you know.
The only way you can do it.
It's a good comeback story despite not winning.
Right.
I know there's nothing that qualifies as a win, but
right. It really is one of the great bass fishing stories in the last few years, I think. Kind of an epic comeback. Is there another tournament that sticks with you that still bugs you?
Yeah, the Santee Cooper Open.
Okay, where you finished second?
Yeah, I didn't need but like 8-3 to win. I had 7-11. And the last day of the tournament, I was leading the tournament. I had a pretty good lead, and I was catching them good, and I left my fish every day biting, and I was catching them in the morning on top water. And the weekend before, I had fished a weekend series, probably the one you got on record there. And I was boat one, so they had to check my insurance. And I showed him my insurance papers, everything was good. So folded it up, put it back in my Ziploc bag, and put it in my console. And the last morning of the Open, I'm leading the tournament, so they have to check boat one. And I walk over to Chris Bowes, I said, here's my insurance papers. And he folds them up, and he goes, "Man, we got a problem." He said, "Your insurance is out of date." And I'm like, "Man, I just fished a tournament last weekend." He looked at those same papers. And so I panicked. So I had to call insurance, get them, email a copy of the insurance. So that took an hour. So my topwater bike was gone.
Wow.
And so I'm in panic mode, you know, and all day I was chasing, you know, and it just pretty – I mean, I had the bites to win. I can't say I didn't have the bites to win, but I was fishing in a hurry all day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, boy, hard so, not to
trying
do
to make
that.
Make up that hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we don't want to dwell on heartbreaks, but yeah. I think they're good stories that define a character, and I like that. So are you looking forward to getting back this year to fish that water?
Yeah.
Next season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to start the tournament series, no matter if it's at the St. John's or wherever we go.
Right.
I mean, I am looking forward to it being on my home water, but there's no slam dunks in this sport at all.
Right.
There's just so many things that can happen, and all I can do is go fishing and let things lay where they do and make things happen when I can.
Right. Well, you set up well for that one. So, but as you know, the curse of the local can hit you too, where you almost know too much.
Oh yeah.
So, but that place is so vast.
Yes.
It may be less of an issue.
I wish Bass would schedule those tournaments better around turkey season, though. I mean, we're going to be there too early.
Man, we got them, too.
Oh, boy.
So looking back at your 2018 season, probably not your favorite one to look at again.
No.
But let's go through it real quick. You did start off, you did have a heck of a first day the tournament and end up finishing 48th in that tournament and getting a check, which is important, continues your bringing in some money. Went to Grand Lake, finished 90th. Kentucky Lake was a 102.
Yeah.
Travis a 97, Sabine 107.
Yeah.
Then you had a really good lacrosse again.
Yeah.
That place has been good to you.
Yes, it has. Yeah, that's a good, that's, that. Like I say, it's pretty easy for me to dissect that place.
Right. Oahe was a 104, and then St. Lawrence 103. And I'm interested in St. Lawrence. We're, of course, going back there for the next 3 years. What are your thoughts on St. Lawrence River?
Well, I mean, my record there is not good at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, if you look back, I've had three that I finished like first place out of the money, first or second out of the money.
Yeah.
And this last one, the reason I finished as low as I did is I had mechanical error the first day. So I didn't get to weigh in the first day. But the second day, I go out, and I'm trying to stay out of everybody's way because I didn't have, you know.
Right.
And I still had over 20.
All right.
You know, we really like to reminisce about that first day at St. Lawrence because it was one of the most epic smallmouth days I think we've ever seen and weighed in. Guys are walking off their boats, walking up to weigh in, chest puffed out, dragging a huge bag. And then when you get in line, it's like, oh, man. I mean, there was 51 bags, 52 bags over 20 pounds, and you just – that's a cool place to go. I mean, if you're catching 20 pounds in any tournament, that's great. But when you're out of the money cut with 20 pounds.
that's a shocking day.
That's disappointing. Well, I mean, look, everybody's going to have tough seasons. And I know that you have to keep a mindset about it. What do you do starting the next season to pick up where you left off but on a different foot?
Well, you know, my whole thing was last year – I was in the area. I found fish.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that I wasn't on anything. I found fish, and I was in the areas. I was catching 12-inchers while they were catching 4-pounders. And you know, it's just I didn't make the right moves at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I you know, all that can change in the drop of a hat. So
right.
I don't let what happened last year bother me going into this year. It all starts over. And
that's the nice thing about it.
Just go to the next one.
You start with a fresh slate.
That's right.
So looking at AOI, you started in 2012, so you got 7 seasons as an elite angler.
Uh-huh.
And there's an interesting trend that I see with Cliff's numbers that are similar to some other guys that we've interviewed in this very same room, and that is that his first year was his best AOI finish.
Yeah.
Finished 29th his first year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only one that's had that.
Right.
We've seen other guys do that. Do you have any thoughts about why that happens sometimes?
I guess I had a point to prove when I got there, you know. And, I don't know. I don't know. I really can't explain that. It's not that it was the fisheries that we went to or whatever. You know, like I say, I guess I had a little more drive to make it work.
You know, you're trying to prove at that point that
I deserve to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there may be, I don't know, it's an interesting, there's other guys who have the worst year, the first year,
because
they're just getting started. They're, mm-hmm. they're struggling with the travel life and everything mm-hmm. else, and maybe even intimidated a little bit.
Right.
Which would be easy to do, but.
You know, what's interesting, too, it seems like, how old were you when you started the Elite Series?
Well, it was 7 years ago, so I was 41.
No, that's generally pretty late compared to most guys nowadays.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that you bring a level of maturity to the game that, you know, maybe you think you have something to prove, but you're also you've been there, done that to a certain extent with life in general, and here you are.
When I was growing up, I high school rodeoed through high school and all
that's
that.
Right.
And I mean, I learned to control my nerves in that. In that game, it's just like fishing. There was everybody that was out there that was competitive was trying to get in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that helped me, you know, through rodeoing and all that, he said, don't listen to it. He said, don't get into the talk. And it's the same with fishing, you know.
Well, that's great. That's great experience. Well, he's humble about his rodeo experience. I looked it up, and Cliff was the state of Florida high school rodeo calf and team roping champion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not all. He was the cutting horse champion and the all-around cowboy champion. So so he's got some chops on the back of a horse, too.
Yep.
So
do you still mm-hmm. have horses? And
no, I'm pretty much out of all that. I my body can't handle all that.
I bet. Golly,
no doubt about that.
Gosh, that is for sure.
Yeah.
Well, with AOI, so It's interesting. If you take your first 6 years on the tour, your average finish is a 59.
Right.
So solid. Mm-hmm. You're in there. You're nearly the top half of the field.
Uh-huh.
And then last year was your toughest year. You had a 107.
Right.
And it was a. It almost looked like it piled on itself one after another.
It did. I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, like I say, I found fish last year. Just I either didn't put them in the boat or just put small fish. I mean, if you look at the, I probably caught limits in all those tournaments during there, you know, and they just weren't the size that, I mean, them guys were catching them last year.
Right.
I mean, we could go to a 55-gallon barrel and they were catching 20 pounds. So,
right.
It's, you know, that was a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an exciting 2019 schedule.
A
lot of big fish lakes and high number lakes. And obviously I know you're looking forward to Palatka, but what is next on your list for next year?
I mean, everybody's like, man, I don't want to go to Winyah, but I enjoyed the tournament there. Any of the South Carolina lakes, and I mean, they're all, it's all fun, you know.
Right.
And Georgia, you know, Lanier and all that. I mean, those are. I've never fished a tournament on Lanier. I've always wanted to. I know it's a big giant place, and looking forward to that one.
Well, I have a theory for your 2019, prediction. And so in 2018, there are four guys with the first name of Cliff on the tour.
Yeah.
Or 2018. You got Cliff Pace, Cliff Perch, Cliff mm-hmm. Prince, and Cliff Crochet.
Right, right.
Well, two of those guys are gone.
Yep.
So you got a little more room to operate now.
Yeah, I won't get confused
you
with
might have been getting,
anymore.
You might have been getting crowded. You know, and three of those guys, their last name starts with a P, too. So,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've never met a person with the name Cliff Clifford
until not super common.
I started working here. And then all of a sudden there's
four.
Well, three with the last name that starts with P.
Yeah.
And then the fourth dude. That's awesome. I think I'm gonna name my next dog Cliff.
So as we get into our fantasy fishing picks,
I haven't heard that one before.
He's got a little bit of a leg up here going into next year. So it's the other interesting thing. You talked about the age that you started professional fishing, mm-hmm. and I feel like we see two different types of guys come in. One is the super young. They're right in out of, you know, early in their 20s, and then we get guys who have worked for a while, they fished as a hobby, got busy doing some tournaments on the side, they've
Correct.
Got a job, mm-hmm. And then they come into a little later,
right.
when maybe they feel like financially it's a little better situation mm-hmm. for them, mm-hmm. and you fall into that group.
I do,
Going into this next year, we've got a lot of new guys. We've got mm-hmm. 35 guys who will be new elites. And a lot of those guys are young, but there's some, you know, guys that have a little bit of age to them too. What are the advantages and maybe disadvantages for a guy coming in his late 30s, early 40s?
Well, you know, in my situation, when I was in school, we didn't have high school fishing. We didn't have college fishing, you know. And when I was rodeoing and all that, when we didn't have rodeo, I was in the woods or I was on the lake. And or standing on the edge of a pond somewhere, and I didn't start tournament fishing until I was 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my uncle was a guide, and I always admired what he did. You know,
that was Leland, Uncle
yep.
Leland.
Yep.
Yep.
And he kind of inspired me to do what I'm doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's pretty cool. Well, one other thing before we get into your full life story that's very interesting and impressive to me. You're a business owner. Mm-hmm. Imagine the two of you together work on that.
Yep.
And the business has a great name to it.
Yeah.
it's called A Dire Need.
Yep.
And once you learn what that is, it makes a whole lot of sense. But it's a portable sanitation business.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. We interviewed another guy here yesterday or day before that's a business owner, Kelly J.
Yep.
Similar age to you, at least I think he's 40. And
Kelly J.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly. I
thought he was a lot older than that.
Well,
I hope he hears me say that.
You know, I may have that wrong. We've talked to a lot of guys in the last couple of days, but the important thing there is he's a business owner
right.
as well.
Yeah.
And of course, John Cruz, business owner mm-hmm. as well. There's probably a few I'm not thinking about.
Right, right.
But how does that work out for you? Doing, you got a business,
mm-hmm.
you got a demanding career, both with tournaments and sponsors.
Yeah.
How do you manage to do both?
Well, you know, when Kelly and I first got married, I was punching the clock, and I did it for 12 years, almost 12 years. And when I bought that business, it was with the intent of having more time to fish.
Oh.
And I wanted to be able to make my own hours. I knew a guy that had one, and he was able to do that, and he rodeoed. So,
okay.
With that, I mean, it's tough juggling it. When I first started, I was only gone for 4 or 5 days fishing an open, you know, or 6 days. And then when I actually qualified for the elites, it was like, whoa, you know, we've got to get some help. And I keep it small. It's a small business, and I've got one guy that works full-time for me. And then when I'm home, I do the paperwork part of it, and Kelly helps me keep up with that. And it makes it tough, you know. It's not like I'm some of the guys that all they have to worry about is going to the next tournament.
Right.
I still have to juggle,
right.
you know, work at home and family, you mm-hmm. know. And it makes it, especially when you're out there 9 o'clock first day of practice and you're thinking about, man, where do I need to go? And the phone rings. I can't not answer it.
Right. Right.
So it's a little different.
Sounds like in some ways the best case scenario for to have a business and be able to keep that going, but yep. also not have to punch the clock.
Right, right, yep.
I wanted to chime in here too.
Yes, please, please.
It's definitely an advantage for us. I feel like owning our own business helps float our boats.
Yes.
Yes. Well played.
Definitely.
Good word.
Yeah. It makes it happen for us and for him to be able to be on the road and go and do. And you talked about, too, the advantages or disadvantages for either the younger or the older going on, you know, starting to fish for a living. I feel like, you know, the younger students, those college students, mm-hmm. definitely have an advantage. One, because they're in college, because mm-hmm. they're going to be able to get, hopefully, their business degree to be able to run their own business.
Right.
And another advantage, too, is those younger ones don't have so much at home where they're able to go mm-hmm. on the road and
right.
really live that, you know,
absolutely.
2 weeks yep. on that water mm-hmm. to practice, thinking, yep. you know, ooh, mm-hmm. I think this might be a body of water that may be on the schedule in the next couple of years. So they're able to go get out there and get some experience on the water. So that's definitely
yeah.
an advantage for the younger
I remember
ones.
Last year, there were some rule changes, but before that, there were guys who were going and spending, you know, 3 weeks on a lake,
yeah. No
just
doubt.
Practicing, hanging yeah. out, getting to know the place, mm-hmm. and those guys did really well.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, you know, and not saying that I couldn't, go do a few days, you know,
right.
But it's usually more lucrative for me to stay home.
Right, right, that makes sense.
You know, to some extent, you know, I have to go when I can, you know, because it's definitely gotten more competitive, and if you don't have some kind of knowledge, at least of how to navigate around the body of water,
mm-hmm.
You're at a disadvantage when you back in that first morning of practice.
Right.
Well, you're doing a commendable job juggling life on many different fronts because I have a hard time juggling my schedule here.
Yeah.
Jim.
Well, that's true.
But I can imagine. I do feel like there's a certain element of maturity you've got to have mm-hmm. to chase the dream after you're chasing another dream of running a business, raising a family, all that stuff. But to be able to make it all work, I think that's a pretty impressive feat.
Absolutely.
It takes a team.
Right, right.
Kelly, the basic question I have for you, what's it like being the wife of a professional angler?
Oh, it's great. We love, honestly, I love it when we're able to pack the vehicle and get the kids in the vehicle and all go off. We, you know, it's our vacation with his work.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful. And wow, the memories for my children, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also don't mind at all when he rolls out, and then I have a little less responsibility at home taking care of him, and I get to enjoy either
yeah.
being mom or just a little relaxation on my part too. So
right.
It's great.
Are you a bass track watcher? Do you stay away from it? How does that work for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, as a matter of fact, I remember the St. John's River tournament, and I don't remember what year it was, but I was not a bass track fan at first. I'm like, oh gosh, I gotta stay away from that. I was a nervous wreck watching it, hearing it. And I would even get upset because my kids would get on it. They would be like tracking, oh mom, I'm like, oh no, hush, hush. But I walk up to the weigh-in and I've been able to stay away from all the, you know, the noise and the, oh, what's happening, and run into someone that is a bass track, you know,
yeah,
and just,
and they tell you.
They just fall.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm bass track constantly.
Yeah, it'll lie to you. I mean, yeah, now when, do you lie to bass track?
No, I usually try to be just a little under.
Well, yeah.
I like to be a little light. She likes to me for the,
I like a cushion.
Okay,
yeah, I like, I like to see it grow as he says.
Kind of got to manipulate yourself into not disappointing yourself when
going
on the stage. I get that.
Now, when he's had a bad day, are you the wife that is supportive and like, oh, you're going to do better, or are you getting on him? Come on now.
It's just a green fish.
Every now and then I say, okay, it's time for a workout.
Yeah.
No, but definitely supportive and just try to wipe it clear, get to start fresh the next day, and get your head on straight and get your tackle ready. And
Kelly, did you play sports growing up?
I did. I loved it. Softball, volleyball, all the above through high school. And really looking back, I regret not playing for college.
But, okay. So you've got some competitiveness in your background as well.
And our kids do too. Yes, okay. I love it.
I mean, when we used to fish tournaments together. I mean, you know.
And I like to beat him.
And you're still married. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
My wife would throw me out the boat, I think, if we started doing that. But anyway, well, let's talk a little bit about your start. I know that everybody has a point where tournaments become something, and there's people along the way that encourage you and support you. And I think that's really an important part of the story of who you are.
Right.
And so we all have a similar past of, you know, standing on the edge of a pond or, you know, first time we caught a bass, but everybody's story is different. So start with that and then kind of take me into your first tournament when you knew that's what you wanted to do.
Well, you know, when I started tournament fishing, it was just basically with friends, you know, and Coy Spencer was a good friend of mine, and we started tournament fishing, and first tournament we won, I can remember like it was yesterday, and he wasn't much of a tournament fisher. He didn't like to get up early and go like I did, and so his dad was Manuel Spencer, which used to fish BASS.
Right, made a classic.
A couple of them, yeah.
Okay.
And he fished one on Chesapeake, I know. I don't know where the other one was. But anyway, I started tournament fishing with him. And that's pretty much what, you know, and he worked at a paper mill there in Palatka and was able to juggle it. And I don't know, he was a big part of my tournament fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard a beginning of a story, but I don't know the details, that you had taken a break from fishing and went fishing with him.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, Kelly and I had first got married. We'd built our house. It took us pretty much a year to build our house right before we got married, and I was trying to get it finished before we got married. And anyway, he calls me up right after we got, you know, moved in and everything. He says, man, he said, I don't have a partner for this tournament. And it was a January tournament. It was the first one of a series. He said, I need somebody to fish with me. So I go out there. I hadn't had my poles out of the boat in so long. I had to reline everything. I get everything rigged up. And we go that morning. It's like 27 degrees. And we go to take off, and his steering breaks. Throws me out of the boat. Throws him in the bottom of the boat. And I come up, and I'm you know, it's warmer in the water than it is out. And so, anyway, he gets me out. Everything was good. And I said, well, we'll just go to the house and get my boat. I hadn't run it in forever. And so we go back to my house, and my wife's like, what? And I'm walking in with one of his jackets on, you know. I go and change clothes and everything. We get in my boat, and we start fishing. We start catching them. And we look up the river up there, and there's birds diving and stuff. He says, well, that's where we got to go. That's where the big ones are. So we fire up, and we go to run up there, and the motor blows up. So that wrapped up the day.
Man, that sounds exactly the way my fishing trips go. I mean, to the T.
You know, that's pretty much from then on, I've been right back at it again, hard and heavy. So
that's great.
Talk about your first boat.
My first boat, I mean, I didn't even have a truck to pull it. I was borrowing, you know, I was still pulling it with Dad's truck, you know. But it was a Ranger. It was a 340 Ranger. Yeah, with a 150 on it, so.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, didn't even have a truck to pull it. I was borrowing one.
I'll tell you what, boats can be the bane of a fisherman's existence.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And then and then when I traded it in, I bought a boat, and like I say, it sat in a garage for a year, and she's like, "You need to sell." I said, "No, it's paid for. I'm right. not selling that boat."
Yeah, that's that same. I'm in the same you know? Boat again. There's another pun for you, but
yeah.
So your family spends time together outdoors. Jim had mentioned you try to do something as often as possible every weekend.
Yep.
What's your favorite thing to do together as a family?
It's a toss up between deer hunting and saltwater fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an offshore boat. We do a little offshore fishing when we get to and when the weather allows it. We're a very fair weather fisherman when it comes to saltwater. And, I mean, because it can get pretty nasty out there. And in a family situation, you know, I like it. I like it 2 foot or less.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm with that.
Safe. Yeah.
Do you deer hunt with them, Kelly?
Yes, we do. All of us.
Awesome.
Love to be in
there. So you guys can split up as a family and go to four different spots and all handle yourself. That's my dream one day.
Yeah, it'll happen.
I hope so.
Sooner than you realize.
My son is 11, and he's like, "Dad, I want to go by myself." Yeah. And I'm just not ready, but maybe he is. But my wife hunts with me some, and I think that's a pretty neat way to live a life.
Yep, yep, yep.
What's your biggest deer, Kelly?
A big one.
That was the 9-point you killed this year.
I like them wide. I like them. Good mass.
She won't shoot them. She hunted one time this year.
And killed it.
I did tell him.
I heard her shooting. I'm like,
I was left.
First hunt, she's.
Wow.
I mean.
They got on to me the night before, the kids too. They're like, "Mom, you don't even hunt anymore." I'm like, "Oh, I'll go."
So, I'm about to show you why. I just go one day and get it done.
There you go.
I don't mess around.
I'm a big one.
Yeah. Man. Well, it's a good lifestyle to live, and I think that you're doing something right when you make as much time to spend time outdoors, and it's just, I can't imagine a life without that.
No, me neither. I don't know. I just it's been part of my life. All, you know, my dad took me hunting and fishing, and I've been eat up with it ever since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know,
you guys have some history of helping start high school fishing teams.
Yep.
I read where you'd started 3 high school fishing teams. Yeah. Tell us about that.
She's been a big part of that, and with her being in the school system, it's been a big help, because when I started professionally fishing, there wasn't any high school tournament fishing there, and the high schools just weren't educated enough about knowing, you know, how the insurance and all that stuff helped, you know, with bass and all that. And with that, you know, she kind of headed that up quite a bit, and I helped mentor the kids and captain when I can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Honestly, it's really the kids that made it get started.
That's right.
I was in a middle school, and they knew Cliff was fishing and Terry was fishing, so they just would flock to me and just ask me all these questions, and oh my goodness. So every now and then, I said, you know, we can have a fishing club, and we'll just talk fishing tips, fishing how-to. So I got Cliff involved, and he'd come every other week or so and just meet with the kids, and we started bringing them little presents and baits and fishing shirts, and that's really how it started. And those kids asked, "Come on, Miss Prince, can you mm-hmm. get us going in the high school?" So we did find out, thanks to Hank Wilden and Emily Hand. They set us up, and we were able to talk to the Putnam County School District, and we got the 2 high schools started, Palatka High School and Crescent City. And now I'm working out at QI Roberts, Cambridge School, and we were able to take care of it there.
That's
so we've
great.
Got 3 going.
What a great legacy to leave behind, you know, that you can be proud of for a long time.
Yep.
Well, that's a perfect segue. We like to wrap these shows up talking about how you would advise a new incoming young angler, maybe somebody that's run a business for a while and looking to take the leap. I want to know your advice to somebody that wants to be a pro angler, and kind of some, I guess, do's and don'ts in getting into the industry.
Well, I don't have any really do's or don'ts, because there's no same situation, you know. But my biggest thing is if you want it to happen, you can make it happen. And in the situation I was in, that's what I did. I you know, I was punching the clock. I was comfortable. I was making decent money. It was good insurance and all that. But I had to take the leap to own my own business to make it happen. And that's pretty much the turning point in my fishing career.
How important is time on the water?
Yeah, you know, I spent as much time as I could, and whenever I was punching the clock, I could have worked days, but I worked nights because we would go in at 2:30 on Monday, and I would punch out on Thursday night, and I had from Thursday night to Monday at 2:00,
wow.
So I could spend all that time on the water.
And
or
he
in
did?
The woods.
And he did.
And he did. Oh, Kelly, Cliff, thank you for being here. Yep. This is a lot of fun. It's great to dig into the past to really see to learn about what made you who you are, and sharing a passion in the outdoors as a family, I think that's a great way to live. I'm digging that. I live the same way, and I'm looking forward to years down the road with my kids doing what you guys do. So thanks for being here. Yep. This has been a lot of fun. From Jim Sexton, this is Thomas Allen. You've been listening to Inside Bassmaster. We'll catch you here next time.